All right, Hebrews chapter number 11. Well, I appreciate the good report we got on Wednesday night. I was talking to my wife after the service on Wednesday night. She was telling me about what the Lord was doing and how He was moving and in the service. And I tell you, I just rejoiced over it. And then she put that Bobby fella on the phone. And I got to talk to him on the phone, and he was tore up. Now, that boy, that man, ever how old he is, he was tore up. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I thought I would just come into the church, you know, and I'd just get a little wet." But he said, "Preacher, I'm drowning, I'm drowning, I'm drowning." Amen. Thought he'd get a little dampness on him, and he went out of here soaking wet. Hey, I like it. Isn't that wonderful? And the comment that he made about her when he came in, he noticed first thing in her how our ladies and all was dressed and our young people, and that speaks volumes. You may not think it is, and I know a lot of churches minimize it down to where it really ain't even nothing, but it's really important. It's really important. Amen. And he noticed that, and that helped him to know that, you know, he's in a good church. And that's the way it ought to be. But anyway, appreciate you cooperating with that and helping us with that. I've been in some churches even right here in the last few weeks that, you know, they it's not that way. The preacher stands that way, and the church has somewhat policies in that way, but they women just does it anyway. That's disrespectful, I think. Amen? I want to teach our young people to not dress down. Dress up. Go to church. Amen. Praise God. Wear the proper size and everything. Be good. I'm telling it. Well, I ain't going to get on that. That'd run a good mess. That just irritates me to see people have to walk around with one hand holding their britches and walk with their feet that far apart just to keep them from sliding down. Now, boy, that's real comfortable, ain't it? That's got to be comfortable. Got to be comfortable. A bunch of junk. They need to see where that stuff come from. They need to see where that wearing your britches down, showing your underwear business come from. It come out of the prisons of California. Homos. Advertisement. That's right. But anyway. All right. Get a good deep breath. Amen. Hopefully we'll be preaching positive tonight. Hebrews 11, verse number 23. Now you can start the tape, Brother James. Hebrews 11, verse number 23. Probably too late, I'd say. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. But by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing. Amen. Now, if you'll notice, I commented about the punctuation this morning, but what it's talking about is, while he was refusing, while that was going on, that didn't stop. The refusing part did not stop. It started, but it never stopped. The refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter continued. Okay, it wasn't just a one-time event. That renunciation was a start and a process. That's why it's got ing on. No, an ed. Refused. He refused. It was initial and it continued. But in the process of that refusal, he then comes the second step of choosing. Choosing rather, and that does have an ing on it, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming, that's ing, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I thought about something there. I stand to be corrected on the first point and the last point. The first one was ED, and the last one seems to indicate a past finished transaction. He forsook Egypt. Amen? When it comes to our relationship to the world and sin and their past life, there ought to be a cutoff there ought to be a it's in our past. It's a done deal. Amen. But our choosing and our esteeming, it should be an ongoing fact. Amen. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now we've been trying to preach on finding security in an insecure world, and didn't mean to get bogged down with Moses as much as we have, but seemed like it just has happened, and I've had great liberty to preach, so I believe the Lord's been in it. Amen? But we've noticed how that when Moses was faced with a choice that he had to make between remaining in the secular or into the securities of Egypt versus going with God in the spiritual, he made the choice. Faith caused him to do that. Faith caused him, we preached about that this morning, faith caused him to make a choice. Chose the people he was going to go with, the direction he was going to go in. Our spirituality is a matter of choices. We know that. We know that. Amen? Spirituality is consequences of choices, no doubt. But anyway, we're looking here, and we noticed this morning where Moses, by faith, noticed that the spiritual was greater than the securities of Egypt. That's why he went with them. It's easy to go with the spiritual if you view it to be greater. And verse 26 is a good insight to that. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. See? So his faith was allowing him to see that the spiritual was greater. And that'll make the choice easy for you. Should, if you see that it is greater. A lot of people that are struggling with choosing the spiritual over the secular is that they're having a problem of seeing it to be greater. A lot of people that don't pursue the spiritual life, but rather they pursue the popular life, they pursue the worldly life, is because really that looks to be greater to them. You're going to live for what's greater. You're going to go after what's greater. You're going to reach for whatever's greater in your life. If you view worldliness and popularity and the pleasures of sin to be greater, then that's going to be in your life. But if you view the spiritual to be greater, then guess what? You're going to be making choices in that direction. Because you're going to see that it'd be greater. Amen? Amen. And so I hope that we desire, as Moses did, number one, we done preaching. I'm not going to re-preach it. We'll go to number two tonight. But we notice that Moses, in verse number 24, his faith caused him to recognize that that the spiritual is a greater measure. Okay, when he was come to years, meaning he became great, he wanted to be great in another set of eyes. He wanted to be great with God, not with Egypt. If you want to be great with Egypt, you probably can. Egypt's a type of the world. If you want to be great in the world's eyes, all you have to do is be immoral. Amen. Don't take really a whole lot of effort to be great in the eyes of your friends and people around in the world. All you have to do is be immoral and don't have any spiritual life. Amen. Don't have any religious life. Don't love Jesus and don't live right. Don't live clean. You'll be pretty well fit in. Amen. But God's people that's been saved by grace loves God, and we want to be great for God. We don't want to be mediocre. We don't want to be just average. We want to be great Christians for the Lord. That's what we should have a desire to be. Amen? It's great. Well, he saw that, first of all, that the measure, the spiritual had a greater measure to it than the physical, than the secular or that of the world, the securities. The second thing I want to deal with tonight in verse number 25, the Bible said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So not only did he view, and faith caused him to do that. Faith gives you insight. Faith allows you to see into the spiritual. Faith allows you to measure the spiritual. Faith allows you to reach what you see. In other words, if you see greatness, you can reach it. Amen? Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're not going to press toward what you can't see. You know there's a finish line. You know there's a goal. There's a place that you're trying to reach. You'll press for it if you know it's there. Amen? And if we know we can reach that level of greatness with God, and you can do that without being great in the world's eyes. In fact, the truth is, if you're great with the world, you're probably not going to be great with God. And if you're great with God, you're probably not going to be great with the world. But the second area that he saw, not only was the spiritual has a greater measure, but also the spiritual has a greater pleasure. Verse number 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now if you'll notice, Moses chose a negative. What looked to be a negative. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was a positive as far as the world's concerned. He chose rather to suffer affliction. He chose knowing that if I go in this direction, it's going to have suffering involved. Now, how many of us would do that? He knew that, Brother Brian. He knew that when he made the choice to step away from the world and step away from that prestigious position and go with God's people, he knew that that meant suffering. But he chose it anyway. Why? He looked beyond the pain. He looked beyond the pain and saw that there was a pleasure to be enjoyed. Amen? So let's look at that for a little while tonight if we can. That the spiritual is a greater pleasure. Some act as though the only pleasure in this world is of the world. Did y'all get that? Some act as though the only pleasure in this world is of this world. But God's people ought to know, and we do know, that there is another pleasure, and that is in this realm of the spiritual. I mean, you sat in the same service with me tonight. You heard the choir sing. Did that look like they was bored and miserable? And no, they were enjoying it. Why? There is a pleasure in the spiritual realm. There's a pleasure in the spiritual realm. Now, a lot of people think that if I'm not worldly, then I can't be happy. The reason they think that is because they think that happiness comes from the world. Now, I know that's a simple statement, but you'd be shocked how many people lives according to that and thinks that happiness is from the world. That's why they want to be worldly. It's an effort to be happy. If you were to ask people in church that are carnal and worldly, and there are a dime a dozen, why do you do this? Why do you live this way? Why are you like that? They'd probably say, if they'd be honest with you, well, I just want to be happy. I want to fit in. I want to be accepted. I want to be this, that. I want to be happy. Well, happiness don't come from the world. Hey, folks, all you have to do is look at some of the key people of the world and tell me if they're happy. I mean, the Hollywood crowd, they're supposed to have, if anybody should be happy from the world, they should be. But are they? It don't take a rocket scientist to see on their face and look in their life, they're not happy. They just go from one partner to another, and yet another. You know, they're not happy. Amen. They're not happy with nothing. Amen. Because happiness does not come from the world. Happiness comes when you are in line with your Creator, fulfilling His purpose for you. That's where happiness comes from. Being what God created you to be. Fulfilling that purpose. Amen? Pleasure, as it's revealed in verse 25, is a matter of choice. Pleasures is a matter of choice. Amen? The word choosing means to take for oneself. Means to prefer. And to prefer something means that I favor that. I desire that. I like it better. Now why would he want to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin? Why? Because he saw it to be better. He saw through the surface and knew that there was some substance to it. The pleasures of sin, there's no substance to that. There's even no life to that. The pleasures of sin is only for a season, and it leaves people wrecked and ruined and destroyed. There's no substance to that. But oh, to go with God's people and live with for God, that's where the substance is. Now this word choosing, I would like to mention this quickly. The word choosing is in the middle voice. And that indicates that the subject is performing an action upon himself for his own benefit. When he chose to go with God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, he was making that choice. He was performing that action upon himself. People can't make that decision for you. Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to be able to make that decision for people. I'd love to be in charge of their choices in that area. Amen. I wouldn't tell you all tonight. I don't have enough time to tell you all some of the things I would love to choose for people. But I cannot do that because spirituality is an action that you perform upon yourself. Choices that you make for yourself. In fact, the latter part of that definition means for his own benefit. You will choose what you think will benefit you. You will choose what you think will benefit you. But you better make sure of what you choose. Because a lot of times you and I did before I got saved and have since then, chose things that wasn't a benefit to me. Amen? Chose things. Boy, the devil will put something in your life. He'll put something in your life, and my friend, you'll want it, desire it, go after it, whatever. My friend, it's not a benefit to you. All of us in here has lost ground over making crazy choices. Amen? Temptations are called temptations because they're tempted. There's your message. Let's all stand. No, I'm just kidding. Amen? Temptations are tempting because are temptations because they are a tempting thing. They're attractive. Sin is attractive. If you're not careful, you'll let the attraction, my friend, be that manipulates your choice. And but anyway, Moses chose a greater pleasure. He chose a spiritual pleasure, a pleasure in the spiritual realm. Amen. And but I just want to say this today. In passing here, that we are living in a pleasure-seeking world. That's all people live for. That's all they long for. That's all they strive for is pleasure. No matter the consequence, and choices always have consequences. Amen. If you play with fire, you get burnt. You fool around with sin, it's going to burn you. You can't sweep it under the rug. You can't dig a hole deep enough to bury it. The Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. And the definition of that means your sins will have a resurrection on you. You think you've got it buried, and all of a sudden, you're going to look around and there it is, standing in your life, reading it in the newspaper. Amen. Hearing it talked about on the news, seeing my name on a poster in the post office. Amen. But a lot of people are pleasure-driven, not considering the consequences, not caring if those pleasures are righteous or spiritual. But Moses chose a greater pleasure. And that's what I want to look at tonight for a few minutes. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. You say, preacher, is there pleasure in that? Is there pleasure in that? What do you think? Hello? There's got to be pleasure in that. There's got to be pleasure in that, or else not too many people would ever go with God. They'd never turn away. Or those that would turn unto the righteousness would turn away from it. But there's pleasure in it. I'm trying to find a verse right here. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 12. Yeah, listen to this. Are you listening? I ask a simple question, to which I never got a response. He chose to suffer with the people of God. He chose that. His eyes was open. He had understanding. It was clear to him. He knew exactly what he was getting into. Paul praying in 2 Corinthians 12 about the thorn in the flesh. Some of you know where I'm going. Listen to it. I wasn't aiming to use this. The Lord just brought it to my mind. And he prayed thrice that this would be taken from him. This thorn would be taken from him. This messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him would be taken from him. And God says, in essence, I won't take it from you, but what I will do is give you grace. And verse number 9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore, listen, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. And that's not all the list. You see it? I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Here's our pleasure. For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I ask again, Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Is there pleasure in that? Is there pleasure of going with God's people? Yes, there is. It is a pleasure that is spiritual. Paul hooked into that. That's why he didn't whine in the jail cell in Acts 16. His back a bleeding and his feet in the stocks, him and Silas in the jail. Not Brother Silas Gibson, but you know, his sidekick Silas. You're not that old, are you, Brother Silas? Not are. And they were in there and their backs were bleeding where they were beaten, not for wrongdoing, but for righteousness, for preaching the Word of God. And they were in there praising God. They were in there praying and thanking God and praising God within that awful situation. Why? Were they putting on? Oh, let's get serious. You know good and well that wasn't fake. Who were they trying to impress? It was dark. They were in the inner dungeon. Nobody could see them. They weren't trying to impress anybody. But they sure did please God. And as a result of pleasing God, God pleased them and enabled them to be able, even in that awful circumstance, to praise the Lord. Well, amen. So, number one, I just want to share this with you. Number one, he saw the greater pleasure that is spiritual. The spiritual is a greater pleasure. And it's spiritual. Amen. It's not physical. It's not material. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Amen. Pleasure comes from pleasing God. God will please you if you live to please Him. Brother Dwight Banks made this statement. I believe it was here while he was preaching a few years ago. He made this statement. If you live as you please, you'll never be pleased with how you live. You can see people everywhere like that. There's testimonies of that. Living as they please. But are they pleased with how they live? No, they're miserable. Amen. And all of us in here, all of us have lived some of that pleasing self life. And did it please us? No, we were miserable. When we are most gratified and satisfied is when we're trying to honor Him and please Him. Amen. But it's spiritual. Amen. It is spiritual. Now, I got to studying on this word pleasure. I don't have time to get in all of it, but I do want to give you some of it. I like going back and studying words and seeing where they're first mentioned. And you can use a lexicon to do that. Most Bible programs, if you've got a Bible program on your computer, most time it'll show you the other places it's translated and how it's used. And you can go back into those places and look how it's used and compare them to the Scripture you're looking at. And a lot of times you can get some meat right there. But I never knew this, and I had to really do some meditating on it. But I found out the very first time this word pleasure that's used in Hebrews 11:25 is used is found in Matthew chapter number 1 in verse number 18. And I want to read it to you. I'm talking about first that these pleasures are spiritual. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together. Now I want you to listen to this. The Bible says, before they came together, she was, here's the word, there's about three English words put together here for that one word, pleasure. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. It's used again in the same chapter. The very second time it's used is in verse number 23. Behold, a virgin shall be, here it is, with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I tell you, when I saw that, in fact, I sang that this afternoon, I about had a shouting spell. The world says if you're going to have pleasure, you need to be immoral. You need to be involved in sin. Isn't that what the message of the world is? If you're going to have pleasure, and everybody loves pleasure. You were created to be a pleasure being. Amen. Your flesh, your nature was created to be able to receive enjoyments and pleasures. Amen. But there's a pleasure in the spiritual realm. Some of you know where I'm going. Some of you don't have a clue. But here's the truth as revealed in the first mention principle. That the word pleasure here is used in Matthew 1:18 and 1:23 as talking about Mary being with child. Now, wait a minute. Come on now. I'm not going to get graphic. I know we're in a mixed congregation. Are you listening? Now, I'm not going to say any more than this. But her pleasure as relating, if we take Matthew 1:18 and 1:23, her pleasure as it was with child. It wasn't with Joseph. Spiritual pleasure did not come from a human being. Her pleasure did not come from the world. Oh, boy, if we can get a hold of this. Her pleasure came from the Holy Ghost. And her pleasure, Sister Carpenter, was this. When the Holy Spirit produced Jesus in her. What is the pleasure of the saints? It's not sin. It's not to see how much garbage we can get into. But it's to have a relationship with the Holy Ghost so that the Spirit of God supernaturally can produce Jesus in us. And when we, listen, amen. And when it's made aware to us that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Amen. That's where your pleasure comes from. Hallelujah. Woo! Pleasure is in Christ's likeness. Oh, hallelujah. Does that make sense? When I first saw that first mention was with child, I thought, now what in the world's that got to do with anything? And I got to thinking about it. Boy, the Lord started showing me, hey, man, that's what the Holy Spirit's ministry is. When He has come, He will glorify me. Amen. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to put Jesus in your life and to bring you into Christ's likeness. And to produce Jesus from your life.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
9 months after, brother, the conception of the Spirit of God in her life. Amen. And she was made aware that inside of her was that seed, that, praise God, that, if I could say, that pleasure produced by the Holy Spirit. And let me just say, the pleasure of Mary was Jesus. It wasn't Joseph. It was Jesus. You're not going to have no pleasure in the spiritual realm, my friend, if you don't have Jesus in you. If you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to form and put Jesus in your life. I've never met one, my friend, that was interested in the Spirit of God putting Jesus in them and forming Jesus in them and producing Jesus from them that did not enjoy pleasure. Even though there's, hey, oh yeah, amen. Even though there was pain involved. Amen. Even though there was some pain involved, she is going to have a baby. I've never had one, but I know, listen, there's some pain involved in that, I understand. Amen. My wife tells me all the time, if we had to have babies, it'd kill us. I don't know. Amen. Well, praise God, that's right. But listen, our pleasure tonight is Jesus. Going to church will be boring if it's not about Jesus. Reading the Bible is mechanical and boring if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to produce Jesus in you. Amen. Too many people going to church is bored out of their mind. Why? They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to produce in them Jesus. Isn't that a nugget? Isn't that a little bit of meat? Amen. Woo! I seen that. I said, hallelujah. I can't wait to preach that. See, your flesh is made to hook you up with this world and receive and give pleasure as it relates to this world. But you see, God's people have another nature in us. Amen. We have the divine nature according to the book of Acts. We've been, or according to Peter, we've been made partakers of His divine nature. We've got a new nature in us. It's God's nature that won't get you hooked up with this world. I just thought I'd let you know that. In fact, I read it this morning, John 16. Jesus said the world cannot receive the Spirit. The Spirit of God will never hook you up in this world. Worldliness is not of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Worldliness is a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. But guess what? My flesh nature is made to hook me up with the pleasures of this life. My new nature, Christ's nature in me, has got me to where I can hook up with the pleasures of the life and world to come, the pleasures of God. So basically, really, the truth is this. What pleasures you enjoy depends on which nature you're living after. And it's pretty evident which nature you're living after as a believer, by which pleasures you're pursuing. Amen. Oh, God help us. Wouldn't it be good if RBT and have folk, my friend, that would say to the Holy Spirit, I want you to produce Jesus in my life. Paul prayed that in Galatians. I wasn't aiming to use this verse either. I hope I can find it. Read it to you. What Paul prayed for, I believe it was Galatians. Let me see right here. Yeah, there it is. Galatians chapter number 4 and verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So I'm not out in left field preaching what I'm preaching tonight. Paul said about the Galatian believers, I'm going to pray that Christ be formed in you. Amen. So that's our pleasure tonight. Pleasure is spiritual. No wonder he turned away from sin. The pleasure of sin was seasonal, not spiritual. Spiritual pleasures, my friend, are not seasonal. Spiritual pleasures can be enjoyed anytime you want to enjoy them. The only time spiritual pleasures will stop is when you stop them. Amen. When we make choices to go contrary to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God looked and found Mary, a virtuous woman, a virgin, clean and holy. And God, not immaculate, by the way. But she was respectable and she was clean. Her God would have never used her as a vessel to bring Jesus into this world. But just the thoughts, my friend, just the thoughts. Let's just get a picture of this. I mean, it's far-fetched, but let's try to get a picture of this. Let's see Mary after the angel came and told her that holy thing in you is of God. It's Jesus. It's Emmanuel, God with us. It's inside you. I can see her with a good Baptistic face. Really? God is in me. Holy Ghost has put Jesus in me. Wow. Whoopee-doo. See her coming down the road. And by the way, if Jesus gets in you, as related to that text, if we can get an application there, it won't be long. This is going to start showing on you. Amen. Amen. That's right. It's not just that you claim that Jesus is in you. Amen. It won't be long, praise God. I mean, it'll be evident. Amen. It'll be evident Christ is in you. Amen. You can't keep it hid. If the Holy Spirit has put Jesus in you, I'm telling you, He's going to develop in you. He's going to form in you. He's going to get big in you. Amen. He's going to start pushing the flesh out. It's going to be evident to everybody. Christ is in me. Hallelujah. Amen. But can you see her going down the street? Molly Grubbs, depressed. Mary, Mary, what's wrong with you? I got Jesus in me. Pray for me. No! Quite the contrary. She is overwhelmed with it. She went and spent a few days with Elizabeth. And she got to telling Elizabeth about it. And before you know it, Elizabeth, of course, she was pregnant with John the Baptist. And John heard about Jesus. And John, before he's even born, began to shout. What was he shouting about? He was shouting about Jesus that was in her. Amen. Hey, man, it's getting big. Amen. Oh, he was shouting about Jesus in another person. Christ in you. One of the greatest truths about being saved is that Jesus comes, takes up His residence in the believer. Amen. Amen. Oh, this is good right here, brother. I can't help it. This is getting big. I was just going to bump this and go on. One thing about having Jesus in you, you don't have to go nowhere to find Him.
Yeah. Amen.
Everywhere Mary went, Jesus was there. Amen. Christ is in us. Amen. And my pleasure tonight, my pleasure is not that I'm in this world. My pleasure is that if Christ is in me.
Amen.
Oh, when you get saved, that's the blessed, that's the pleasure of it. That's the pleasure of being saved. Christ is in you.
Amen.
You can't get Christ. Amen. Amen. You can't get Christ in you through education. You can't get Christ in you through reformation. Only way you can get Christ is in you. If get Christ in you is the same way Mary got Christ in her. The Holy Ghost has to implant Him in there.
Amen.
Son, that's good. That's good, ain't Brother Jake? Son, I'm telling you, that'll preach. Glory to God. Just preaching about it, I feel Christ in there. Just saying, amen. Preach it, son. Amen.
Yeah.
How in the world can you have Jesus in there and you not feel it kick every once in a while. Amen? That's right. Hey, man, I'm telling you, every once in a while I get in a good service, Brother Gene, and Christ in me, praise God, gets to kicking around in there. I see people claim to be saved, they're getting a good service, and I mean a good service. God, I'm moving, eyeball thick, and eyeball deep, and you know what? People sitting there like, yeah. I mean, while God's a-moving, get their phones out and text. You know what I call that? Wicked. That is ungodly. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, friend, I don't need none of the things the world can produce. Listen, I don't need anything in the world to put a smile on my face. Amen. That's why going to the honky-tonks is not tempting to me. Why would I want to be interested in Miller Lowlife and Bud Dumber and all that bunch of junk and dancers and all that? Greater pleasure is spiritual, produced by the Holy Spirit. Number two, the greater pleasure is satisfying. A lot of people think that the world, that a pleasure in the spiritual realm is just a bunch of can'ts and don'ts. You can't do this, you can't do that, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and that's bondage. That's bondage, amen? But the greater pleasure is the spiritual realm than in the world realm. Amen? The world's pleasure is sinful and circumstantial. God's is holy and relational. Amen? I want to use this, young people's heard me use this before. At the height of, I'm talking about the pleasure that's in the spiritual realm will satisfy you. The pleasure in the carnal and fleshly realm won't satisfy you. At the height of the popularity and wealth of the Beatles, they produced a controversial project called the, quote, the White Album. It signaled the breakup of the band. It also revealed a growing disenchantment with all that their fame had produced. John Lennon expressed the emptiness of his successful and wealthy life with the profound words, I quote, "I'd give you everything I've got for a little peace of mind," end of quote. That's what John Lennon said of the Beatles. Wealthy, popular, he said, "I'd give everything I've got for peace of mind. I'm not wealthy nor popular, but I've got peace of mind." Amen. Thank God for spiritual pleasures that are spiritual and satisfying, and also they're stable. Simple pleasures are temporary. They're seasonal. They're for a season. But spiritual pleasures, praise God, is permanent and lasting. Simple pleasures, my friend, come and go and leave you empty. Spiritual pleasures, my friend, can be lasting. Amen. All right, let me mention this third thing real quick and I'll be done. Look, if you will, in the text. Look in the text. Hebrews 11, verse 26. The Bible says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Now, I was going to read several other verses about that pleasure, spiritual pleasure. Let me just read this one verse before we move on. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Boy, there's spiritual pleasures for God's people. Amen. Spiritual pleasures for God's people. Amen. So the third thing we're noticing tonight, and I'm just going to bump this. I'm not going to preach all night on this. Just give it to you because I do want to finish tonight. Not only is there is Moses' faith saw a greater pleasure, but number three, saw a greater treasure. In verse 26, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." Egypt's got treasures. Amen? Egypt's got treasures. And the world will have you living for that. But God's people are not living for that kind of treasure. We're living for spiritual treasures Amen. And the Bible talks about in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, the love of money is the root of all evil. And you ought to read that. If you get a chance, turn, read 1 Timothy 6, start in verse number 6 and go through verse number 10. And you'll find some great spiritual truth right there. In Luke chapter number 12, the Bible teaches us there about a man. Jesus said that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. And he gets given the parable of the story concerning the rich farmer that had wanted to tear down barns and build bigger barns. Boy, he looked like he had it made. That was the treasures of this life. And God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." And then it goes right out of that. Don't stop. It goes right out of that and goes through the rest of the chapter, about through verse 30, 33 or something, 34. And that's dealing with real treasure. Okay? So you can read that when you get home. In Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 21, it talks about the treasures of this life, how that they can be lost and so forth. And then it goes right into verse 31 through 34, talking about the real treasures. And but anyway, praise God, it's a spiritual treasure we're after. The first mention, I'll just give you this, I'm about done. The first mention of the word treasures there is found in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6. I think this is interesting. Matthew 2 and verse 6, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come," here's the word, "a governor." Did you get that? Boy, that was strange when I noticed that. The word governor in Matthew 2 and verse 6, "and shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Of course, we know who that's talking about. It's talking about Jesus. All right? But that's the first mention of the word that is in our text used as treasure. Over there it is used as governor. You know what a treasure is in your life? It'll be that which is governor of your life. That which is, amen, that which, in fact, the second usage of it is in Luke 22:26, and it's translated chief. Treasures in our life, Brother Brian, is going to be determined by what we're going to let govern and be chief in our life. Well, the treasure that Moses saw to be greater treasures than that of Egypt was Jesus governing his life. Amen. That's what he saw. And what is it that's going to govern your life? You ought to consider that tonight. Amen. I want us to all stand to our feet.